The following is a paid program.
It's time to talk UK sports with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Join in the discussion by tweeting your questions to @LeachReport or email leachreport@gmail.com. And you can call 877-904-1080. Now, along with an outstanding lineup of guests and broadcast to the most passionate fan base in America, the Big Blue Nation, here's the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Welcome into our Wednesday edition of the show. Happy to have you on board with us as we talk UK sports today. Lots to discuss, and we'll lead it off with Paul Biancardi, National Director of Recruiting for ESPN. Talk about how some of the future Wildcats are doing as they head into the All-Star Circuit and their first seasons coming up at Kentucky. Chris Fisher from the Cat's Paws, and Coach Michael Smith, UK wide receivers, talk about how his guys looked this spring, in particular a lot of buzz created in the game by Bryce Oliver. So we'll get into all of that as we move through the show today. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Tyler Hero will stay in the NBA draft. Not a big surprise when that news came down yesterday. I think a lot of us were hoping that Tyler might hang around for a second season. But you see some of the projections of where he'll go in the draft. Assuming they're accurate, inside of the top 20 picks, and a couple of them I've seen. You know, if that's the case, it's it would be hard to advise him to not go this route. I think the second season of college basketball could have been very beneficial to his second contract in the NBA. But you know, if you're, we'll get Brett Dawson on here soon because Brett covers the league, has for several years now, and he can talk a little bit more about the degree of development goes into these guys. I would have to think it's a good bit more if you're a first round pick that they're going to invest a lot more time into you to help you grow your game so you're in a position to develop as you might have in a second year of college. So hopefully that happens for Tyler. I would imagine Keldon Johnson will probably follow suit before too long. So the roster's starting to take shape for next season, but still recruiting going on and still potential for more transfers. Maybe Virginia Tech's Kerry Blackshear. He put his name in the transfer portal. Now, he's also put his name up for consideration for the draft, but he's 6'10", 250. Played a nice game at Rupp Arena against Kentucky a couple of seasons ago. He was a 16-9 guy, I think, last season, 16 points, 9 boards a game for Virginia Tech. Would be a great pickup, but you know, at this point, I think there's certainly some interest, but you've got to find out more about if you're in Kentucky, you got to find out more about the guy, how good, you know, the first thing always starts with, would he be a good teammate? Would he fit in to the mix of the guys that you have already? So I'm sure some of those discussions are probably going on. Baseball, number 7, Louisville, came back from an early deficit to beat Kentucky 18-6. Great crowd at Kentucky Proud Park, 4,919, largest regular season crowd in program history, but 8 walks, 4 errors, too much for Kentucky to overcome against a really good team. And it's a torn quad as expected for DeMarcus Cousins. No surgery needed, they say, and the Warriors report I saw are going to wait to see how he responds to rehab before they declare him out for the entirety of the playoffs. So keep good thoughts for DeMarcus that maybe it doesn't turn out to be as bad as it has looked initially. Links to the stories that we talk about each day can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Back with Paul Biancardi, ESPN. When we return, it's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wildcats.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the Leach Report. We go to the Kentucky Branded Hotline to bring on Paul Biancardi from ESPN.com, where you are going to see the new Top 100 from Mr. Biancardi and his team coming up next week, early next week, and the Top 100 for the 2020 class as well. But you're just back from Portland. Let's just talk about, in general, who caught your eye out at the Nike Hoop Summit.
Well, most All-Star games belong to the guards, and Nico Mannion, who's a top 10 player in our rankings, really caught my attention because he ran the team and he scored points. So he played a complete game on the offensive end, and he went head-to-head against Cole Anthony, top unsigned senior in the country. And they had quite a battle at McDonald's, and then they relived their battle at the Hoop Summit. Two outstanding point guards who bring different things to the table, but Nico Mannion, for me, really, really stood out, as did James Wiseman for the U.S. team. He's our number one prospect, but he practiced this week, Tom, with the last week with some great enthusiasm, which he has most of the season, and he played with that enthusiasm during the game. I believe he had over a handful of block shots. Really, really changed the complexion of the game for the U.S. team with his defensive presence.
Let's talk about the Kentucky guys. We'll start with Tyrese Maxey, and you just give me your overview of these guys. Start with him.
Well, Maxey is a vivacious guard, and I use that word because he's always playing with a smile on his face. He seems like he plays the game happy. You know, some people talk about playing angry. Well, Maxey plays happy, and he's a combination between a scoring guard and a facilitator. I think he's more of a two-guard than anything. He plays well in pick and rolls, but he really plays well, in my mind, off the ball. I could see Cal running a lot of screens for him, catch and shoot scenario, or catch it and drive it scenario. And so I think he scores the ball best. And he plays defensively with commitment. He's not afraid to get in a stance. He's not afraid to pick up the ball. I like Tyrese Maxey as a very strong two-way player at Kentucky. He plays on both ends of the floor. And I like his enthusiasm for the game. He truly loves to play. And the other guy is Khalil Whitney, kind of a 3-4 coming in, really athletic with a good mid-range and a good drive game. Not so much the three-point shooter that Maxey is, more inside the arc than outside the arc for Khalil Whitney. But Whitney's one of those guys, because he's close to 6'8", 6'9", athletic, strong, and can score, going to get a lot of buckets for Cal in the post, in the paint, and then with his face-up game. And certainly he gets to the line. So I like what he brings Kentucky in terms of scoring versatility, and he will get on the glass. You know, his dad played at Seton Hall back in the 90s, Kelly Whitney, and he was a fantastic rebounder at Seton Hall.
Any comparison to a P.J. Washington who came in as a guy who was more of a low post game, but could face up, and he expanded obviously over time. But does that comparison work at all?
Yeah, it does. I think in terms of honestly, the comparison when I look at those two, I see two guys that need 2 years to develop into the player they want to be. PJ was probably more low post and mid post minded, where Whitney is more comfortable at the same stage, I think, playing on the wing. Whitney plays on the wing with good comfort level. PJ played at the high post and the low post. He kind of stayed in that middle third of the court at the high school level. And until he developed under Cal, especially in the second season, I thought he got more comfortable on the wing and maybe in the corners. And Whitney, I see more face up right now than PJ at the same stage. But guys that can beat you with their versatility, guys that can be a real tough matchup, because on the other end of the floor, when you got to put somebody on Khalil Whitney, you've got to figure out where he does his damage, and it's equal parts right now. He beats you from inside the arc, but outside the paint, and then certainly if you put a smaller defender, he'll recognize that and go into the mid-post or low-post on you. So he's a tough matchup, Khalil Whitney.
Keon Brooks, we'll go to him next.
He had a fabulous season playing at La Lumiere High School. I thought he really stayed with it all season long. I know he was very disappointed that he didn't become a McDonald's All-American or named a McDonald's All-American, but he played at that level all season long. He competed in our Geico Nationals in New York, and he does a good job of face-up and low post. Same thing as Whitney is, but I love his athleticism. I think he's got some really quick twitch fibers. In terms of explosiveness, I love his face-up game. I love his rebounding game, and he does a good job blocking shots as well. So you've got good length, good size, good matchup problems with Whitney, and Brooks, and they're really a pair of forwards. And you can put them in the front court and play with them. I know Cal loves to play that small ball versatility. Whitney and Brooks could be your 4 and 5.
Interesting.
When you need to score some points. Yeah, when you need to score some points, and maybe you think you're going to play a little smaller but still have size, I could see those guys playing, you know, your 4 and 5 spot. You'd have some matchup problems because, you know, one of those two guys is going to have a big, big guy on him or less mobile big, and that will be the guy with the advantage.
What about Dante Allen? I know you didn't get to see much of him this year with the injury.
Yeah, I've seen him in the past, though. I like his size for his position. Obviously, he's got long arms. And his ability to shoot the ball off the catch, I think, is what he brings to the table for Kentucky. When I watched him play, I watched the confidence level that he had in terms of shooting the ball. I mean, he was a guy who could miss some shots and still come back and make some shots. I think his biggest adjustment for the next level is utilizing his ball handling skills in an efficient way. But I think he'll have a chance to contribute next year.
Have you given much thought yet to how the game, the landscape's going to change for recruiting when the new deal with the NBA comes through? I guess it's 2022 with guys being able to go straight from high school.
Yeah, I gave it some thought. It's going to be real difficult for these elite programs in college basketball. It could be difficult for a lot of the high majors. To John Calipari, how much time are you going to invest into the elite prospects who most likely will put his name into the NBA, and then you have to wait a certain period of time. I don't think we have that period of time yet. So when they can come back and decide if they don't want to, you know, put their name in the draft any longer and come back to college. I think you got to hold a couple of spots now every year for guys like that, and at the same time go out and recruit guys that you know that are going to come in and be in college for multiple years. So it's a delicate balance of not just trying to go out and get who you want, but you got to go out and read the situation of who has a chance to go into the NBA and who has a chance to play in, you know, in college right away. It's going to be a delicate balancing act because you may think a guy's not good enough for the NBA, but they think they are. They put their name in, and they may keep it in the league, and then you lose, you know, that player. So, but you keep scholarships open because there's going to be guys doing it, and a lot of guys will, I think, be looking for schools, quite honestly, in May and in June. Depends what the NBA decides their deadline is going to be for players to come back or go into school. Some are saying after the draft. Some are saying at the end of May. They haven't had a date in stone yet.
Well, I appreciate you giving us a little time. I know it's a busy time putting this all together. We'll look for that coming out on Monday at ESPN.com, right?
Yes, we're also going to have our new top 100, Tom, the class of 220. So there'll be a lot of movement in that because that's a class that was the juniors, the rising seniors. We'll also have our ESPN 60, which is the top juniors in the country. So a lot of names, a lot of fluidness in those lists because you see so many new and different players over the course of time. So those classes will start to take their shape and identity as we begin the new year of 2020.
Paul Biancardi, National Director of Recruiting for ESPN.com. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Chris Fisher joins us from the Cats Paws on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. And the news broke just a bit ago about Keldon Johnson. Certainly no surprise there. At least we're starting to get some clarity for the roster for next season.
Yeah, I think that's probably the plan. I'm not sure there were very many reasonable people that expected either of Tyler Hero or Keldon Johnson to return, especially when you look at the latest mock projections that have each of those guys inside the top 20. And so, but you're right. It's good to get some clarity on your roster, especially when it comes to recruiting. Guys want to know, you know, who's coming back, who's leaving, those types of things. So definitely sets you up well for to close out the spring with a bang in recruiting.
The guys we are, I guess, uncertain about at this point, to maybe not any great degree, E.J. Montgomery, Nick Richards, Jamal Baker, As far as EJ and Nick, it would be, I think most people think, putting their name in for the draft. And they still have, I believe, is it this Thursday? Is like tomorrow night the deadline for actually formally putting your name in?
I think the 21st is the underclassmen deadline, if I'm not mistaken.
So a little more time left to make that declaration, and then they would have until late May to take it out. And with Baker, I think the only concern would be as a transfer, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I think the way they've changed the rules here in recent years, it's so much more advantageous for guys to put their name in the draft and receive feedback. But with E.J. Montgomery and Nick Richards, I think that would be a little bit pointless right now. I'm just not sure either of those guys are firmly on anyone's NBA radar. They showed flashes this season. Both have all the physical tools that you're looking for, just need to be more consistent, get more game reps. And especially a guy like E.J. Montgomery, I think, coming back to Kentucky, he's one of the guys that you could see make an absolutely huge leap next season, similar to what we saw from P.J. Washington this season.
Yeah, it was just hard to get minutes this year with how well P.J. and Reed Travis played. So that won't be the issue for E.J. in year two, and he will get a chance to probably play through mistakes longer. And he's a guy that has a lot. Probably more to his game than we've seen. There were flashes at times where he looked like he was a really good passer. Certainly can step away from the basket and score as well as with his back to the basket.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think E.J. Montgomery is much more skilled than what we saw from him this season. He consistently stood out and shot that 18-foot jumper. Didn't make it a lot this season, but I could see that number going way, way up next year. I think he's probably one of the more skilled big men that Kentucky's had in the program in a while. And there's a lot of different things you can do with him. And I think, like you said, he's a good enough passer to where you can run offense through him, either at the high post or on the block. And again, I think a guy that could stand to make a huge leap next season, regardless of Nate Sestino or any other hint grad transfers that Kentucky may be looking to bring in.
Well, we'll go there next. You got Kerry Blackshear from Virginia Tech in the transfer portal now, and you've got other recruiting prospects that are still out there. What is, as you, let's assume the guys we've talked about are back, and we know Higgins and Quickley are back, so we know who's gone. So with the roster that is presently in place for Kentucky, what do they need to be able to be a championship contender?
Well, I think you need one more solid big man. And I think, there have been some kind of rumblings behind the scenes here in recent weeks that Kentucky may be looking to add another big man, especially kind of being on the outside looking in with both Matthew Hurt and Jaden McDaniels. And I think John Calipari sees the recipe that works so well with Reed Travis, who not only had an impact in terms of points and rebounds, but brought a lot of much-needed experience to a young team. I think John Calipari really liked the way that worked out. And you have another potential NBA draft prospect in Kerry Blackshear, who averaged similar numbers to Reed Travis at Stanford, 15 points and 7.5 rebounds. I think he was all ACC, really dismantled Duke's front court a couple of times this season. And so really kind of fits the mold of what you're looking for. And I think kind of helps fill in that gap in the front court while E.J. Montgomery and Nick Richards still kind of get their feet underneath them. And I think the addition of Kerry Blackshear could potentially make Kentucky the favorite to win the national championship next season.
When you look back, it was a different time when grad transfers weren't a thing like they are now. But you look at that great run in Kentucky had in the 90s, and transfers were a big part of it. Travis Ford on the 93 Final Four team that transferred from Missouri. And you had Mark Pope, Derek Anderson, Hashimu Evans, transfers all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know that those guys were huge parts of a national championship run. And we saw the impact that Reed Travis had this season, and Kentucky didn't quite make it to
back to Minneapolis for the Final Four. But I think John Calipari is typically ahead of the curve on these types of things, and I think he found something that works, and I think he's going to continue to keep going back to it.
With Blackshear, are you hearing anything yet about how this might unfold for him?
It's hard to say. I think he wants to explore the NBA draft process, as he should, and kind of see where he lands and kind of evaluate the feedback that he receives from NBA scouts and front office types, and then kind of go from there, which is exactly what Reed Travis did. I would be shocked if Kentucky isn't or doesn't get involved to some degree. And with the Reed Travis situation, I don't think that played itself out until I think it was mid-June when he ultimately committed to Kentucky. So I think there's plenty of time for Kentucky and other schools to get involved as he weighs his NBA options.
Because Reed was a guy that was looking at NBA options himself this time a year ago.
Yeah, he went through the draft process and went head-to-head with PJ Washington and some of those pre-draft workouts for various teams. I would expect Kerry Blackshear to do the same if he receives an invitation to the NBA Combine, and he'll work out for teams as well. And just kind of have to wait and see how that whole thing plays itself out.
Anything you've seen in the All-Star games for the future Kentucky guys that has been noteworthy to you?
I think you have to start with the play of Tyrese Maxey. I think everyone, to a man, has really been impressed by what they've seen from him. I think he reminds me a lot of Brandon Knight in terms of his skill set, extremely polished as a true combo guard. He can play on, he can play off the ball, shoots it really, really well, was the defensive player of the year last year in the Nike EYBL, and so really doesn't have very many holes to his game, and I would expect him to really come in and replace some of that scoring punch that's going to be vacated by Tyler Hero.
If Kentucky's roster is what it is now, looked like it would be more of a team that could play smaller.
I think you could see that, absolutely. I think you could see Kentucky going with more of a small ball lineup. And it's funny, when you see Villanova win two of three national championships and everybody was talking about space and shooting and those types of things. And then the four teams that made the Final Four this year were more defensive-oriented teams. And so it really just shows you there's so many different ways you can win. And also the randomness, I guess, that goes into the NCAA tournament and the late game heroics that Virginia was able to pull off multiple times. It just it takes more than being good. You definitely have to be lucky, and I think this year again showed that self out.
Chris, appreciate the time. We'll talk next week.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
You can read Chris's story about Keldon Johnson remaining in the draft up right now at catspaws.com, at Chris Fisher 24/7 on Twitter. We're heading to a break. Coach Michael Smith talking UK receivers when we come back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
13 away from the top of the hour. The draft is next week. I just retweeted something from CBS Sports Network. It's their analysts talking about Josh Allen, wondering, it says, according to the tweet, if he's the most talented edge rusher in this draft. I'd say you could certainly make a good case for that. He was tremendous this season. It was just so much fun to watch him play. And you could just see the matchup coming at times when they didn't put extra help on his side, and you knew he was going to be one-on-one against a tackle. The best example is the Mississippi State game where the poor left tackles, they went through a couple of different guys. They either got beat or got a penalty several plays in a row. They just could not block him. So it's an exciting time for Josh and all the guys going into the draft. So we'll hear Josh's name called pretty early next week. It's going to be in Nashville for the first time, too, and It's going to be crazy down there. You think tournament time is crazy. I'm told this will be unlike anything Nashville's seen when the draft folks roll in. Coach Michael Smith joins us now. Coaches wide receivers for Coach Stoops at UK. And Coach, we'll talk about a guy that made a splash in the game last Friday. I think he was a guy that people left there talking about. Bryce Oliver, one of your young guys. Had he been making those kinds of plays for you during the camp?
He actually had been. You know, I wasn't surprised to see him perform the way he did because, you know, he had a pretty good spring. You know, he had a couple days in there where he lulled off a little bit. But, you know, Bryce is a willing soldier. You know, he comes to work, and he's very athletic, a very strong receiver that runs well, has a set of pretty good hands, and I think he showed that on Friday night.
There was one catch he made. It was, I think, off the back of one of the cornerbacks. I can't remember which one, but the ball was thrown up down the sideline. You know, with a receiver, you have the technical part of it, the route running and placement of hands and all those kinds of things. But then ultimately there's a little bit of the thing that you can't coach, right, that he's just got to make a play sometimes.
You're exactly right. You know, I watched one of his interviews after the game Friday, and, you know, he said something that, you know, kind of made me proud because I want to train all my guys that when that ball's in the air, you know, a lot of people, it's the 50-50 balls, and we don't approach it that way. It's 100% to zero when that ball's in there. That belongs to us, and he did a great job on that play, you know, going over the top of the DB and making a play that we need not just him but all our guys to make. And when we have those opportunities, we got to take advantage of them, and Rice did that.
Let's talk about Lynn Bowden a little bit. I remember his first year was down at Starkville, I think. It was a day it didn't go well, but just it was down on the field before the game. And he's working diligently on just some short routes down around the goal line. I was just impressed at, you know, how meticulous he was about going through his pregame routine of getting this work in. He's a guy that I know has a high football IQ. How have you seen him grow as a just a technician, as a receiver?
Well, that's the thing that, you know, when I got here, that was my biggest thing with Lynn. You know, I thought he was a tremendous athlete. You know, you talk about his football IQ. He's very, very smart, has great field awareness. But I didn't think he was as technical as he needed to be to be the type of receiver he wants to be. And that's something that since, you know, I've been here, we've just harped on it with him. You know, and you talk about his pregame approach to the game. You know, once Lynn becomes a technician in route running, Lynn's going to be a beast. He's going to be hard to deal with, you know, because he has such great athletic ability, and you add that to his game being solid as a technician. He's going to be something to deal with, and that's something that we harp on every day. And it's not just with Lynn. You know, from my background, not being as fast as some of these guys that I'm coaching or have coached, the thing that I prided myself on was being a great route runner and, you know, being on the same page with the quarterbacks. And that's how I've always coached this position from ground zero to be great route runners and being in the right places at the right time. And then, you know, letting your God-given ability take over. And once you have a fundamental and technically sound base, then I'll let you kind of add your own flavor to it, you know. But I think you have to have a great foundation, and that's what I've always tried to start, not just with Lynn, but with all the guys. And I see Lynn going in that direction, and I think it kind of showed up last year in his play. And we're still harping on that part of it to continue to have him improve.
Epps and Ali, as Epps, Josh Ali, came in together, both played as freshmen, and kind of just think of those guys in tandem. So talk to us a little bit about how what the growth is you've seen in Epps and Ali this spring.
Well, you're just like you said, that, you know, everybody always puts Josh and Isaiah together, and they're roommates, you know. They look the same. They have the same haircut. The first week I was here, I couldn't tell them apart, to be honest with you. But Just starting with Isaiah. Isaiah, to me, has a skill set, again, that you can't coach. Isaiah runs well. The thing I think Isaiah's done from last year to this spring, his releases off the ball have become phenomenal. You know, he's taking to heart some of the things that we've talked about and tried to improve on them. I would like to see him be more consistent, you know, on finishing plays. And that's just, I think, an attitude and a mentality, kind of like we were talking about with Bryce, you know, that when that ball's in the air, it's mine. I think Friday he showed that he can be a deep threat. We threw him short passes. He runs well after the catch. So the tools are there. We just got to continue to refine those. And my biggest challenge with all my receivers, and we're just talking about Isaiah and it brought it up, it reminded me of, I want them to create an attitude of a dog, you know, that we won't be beat. There's nothing that you can present to us as a defense that we're not capable of handling, and develop that mentality. And, you know, we're heading that way. We got a long way to go, but we're heading that way. And then when you talk about Josh, you're talking about Lynn's approach to the game. Josh Ali has the best approach in that run to preparing himself to be a great receiver. The guy comes to work every day. He practices fast every day. He's got unbelievable hips, and his feet are ridiculous. And, you know, I think you're going to see a lot from him this year, because it's like I told all these guys, if I'm a defensive coordinator, there's a guy on our team right now I'm not going to let beat us. And everybody in the country knows who that is. So it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for these other guys to step up. And if they step up and do what they're capable of doing, we're going to be a group that's going to be hell to reckon with. And that's the approach we have as a receiving corps. That's the approach we're going to have as an offense, because everybody knows that we can run the ball. And we're going to get Lynn his touches. We need these other guys to step up and make plays. And I know we have those guys in our room that are capable of doing that.
Coach Smith, I appreciate the time.
Thank y'all so much. I appreciate it. Go Cats.
Have a good day. That's Coach Michael Smith, UK wide receivers coach. As we head to the break, I want to remind you about the two-day derby sale that's going on at Kentucky Branded. Wraps up today, and you can get a free tote bag and free shipping with a purchase of $40 or more. They have some unique items just in time for derby, like they always do at Kentucky Branded. So check them out. There's the Script Kentucky Tea. They've got horse blanket socks, maybe, that might fill a need for you. So KentuckyBranded.com and the three stores here in Lexington, Fayette Plaza, the kiosk in front of H&M at Fayette Mall, and out in Hamburg next to Carter's. Check out Kentucky Branded. We're heading to a break. We'll wrap it up after this. Donato Slice of Wildcat History. Today, 20 years ago, Tim Couch, the Deuce, the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Picked by the Cleveland Browns. They had some of the old 49ers front office crew there, and I think we were all hopeful that, hey, these guys know what they're doing. They'll build this thing right. They'll support Tim. They'll put a good O-line in front of him. They'll get him receivers. Yeah, none of that happened, unfortunately. But Tim Couch on this day was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and I don't think Josh will be number one, but he won't be too far down the list next week. Happy birthday to Dwayne Casey, a coach of the Detroit Pistons. Speaking of the NBA, Jamal Murray, 21 fourth quarter points to lead the Nuggets to an important win over the Spurs last night. So kudos to the former Wildcat there. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to leachreport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio Network.